I invite you to stand as we worship.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our song, we live.
That guitar playing business over there. What's the deal,
man? I don't
man?
Know. People just keep telling me that.
Yeah, those lessons are paying off. I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for it. Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. I hope you guys had a wonderful week. We got Andrew playing acoustic today. I'm not a big Super Bowl fan, but the LA Rams won.
Yeah, so yeah. You're going to have a mixed report. You're not going to get a cheer for that one.
yeah, by 3 points. It was still a close game. Anyway, this next song is greater than that game.
There you go.
Bring your tide, bring your shame, bring your guilt, to bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voice that keeps telling me I'm not right. That's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed. When I'm saying I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Bring your doubts and bring your fears, bring your hurt and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. Oh, you are only righteous and redeemed. Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a first name. That's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed. When I'm sin, I'll never be enough. Living inside of me, and he who is living in the world, in the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me, and he who is living in the world. Whoa.
Well, please have a seat. My name is Andrew. Let's open our service up with a word of prayer. Lord, thanks for opportunities like this to gather both in person. I know there's folks joining us from all around the place online as well. But thanks, God, that we get to join together to worship, to set our hearts, to remember that, God, you are truly greater. That no matter what the voices in our head tell us, no matter what the voices in our culture tell us, that we belong, Lord, we belong to you, and you give our life meaning and purpose and hope. You give us eternal life, and you give us life abundant now. So we just invite you, God, to speak to us in whatever way you choose to today. We thank you for the privilege of being together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, my name is Andrew. Grateful to have you here. If you are, if you've first time in a while, and you maybe haven't done this for a while, we've got these connection cards in the seats, and this is a great way to kind of sign in, make certain that we are staying in the loop with one another. If you've got prayer needs, if you've got suggestions, including if you've got song suggestions, we're going to do some stuff with song suggestions next week as well. So take a moment to do that, and then there's offering baskets around the room, and you just put one of the connection cards in an offering basket, and we'll make certain it gets to the right person. But we want to jump right back into singing and worship, but first we want to pray for our kids. We have a dynamite children's church program. Marcia's in the back. She just can't wait. She's excited, looking forward to our kids' program. So let's just pray for our kids before they're dismissed. Lord, thanks for our children. Thanks, God, for the life that they bring, the lessons they're learning, and just who they are and who they are becoming in you. So, Lord, would you bless them in mighty ways, and especially all the people that are investing in them, everyone from our children's church volunteers, and we're so appreciative to them, to the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles that are investing in their life. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take a moment while the kids are getting settled. Greet a few people around you. Give somebody a fist bump. Give them a moose ears. You can shake their hand. You can do whatever you need to do. And we're going to put some social media up on the screen as folks join us from wherever. And, well, that's nice. And we're going to jump back into singing in a few moments.
Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah.
the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe.
Good morning, Columbia Grove. The other day I opened the front door and there was a bulb coming up, a hyacinth, and I officially got a fever, spring fever. Anybody else share that sentiment? It's been a long winter. The question I have for you is, what signs of hope are you finding in your own life? Where's your hope coming from? Not a bulb coming up in the ground, I hope. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, you are indeed our living hope. We praise your name for all that you have done, for the gift of your Son and the promise of new life. We wait in hope for you, Lord, our help and our shield. Our hearts rejoice in you, for we trust your holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you alone. You have taught us to believe that you are alive and active in the world today. We see your hand in answered prayers, including Brant Capel's continuing recovery, Carla Perlberg's successful surgery, Paul's recovery from COVID, and so, so many more things. Thank you for answered prayer and your blessings on so many people. Lord, you have taught us to love deeply as you first loved us, for love covers a multitude of sins. We pray that you teach us to forgive, truly forgive each other as you have forgiven us. We pray for healing of fractured relationships between spouses, between parents and children, between friends and colleagues. We pray for healing of relationships throughout our land. Restore peace once again, and let this begin with us. Lord, you have taught us to embrace trials and difficulties. It is easy to call ourselves Christians when things are going well. But we acknowledge that it is much harder when we encounter difficulties in this life, when it seems like the world is against us. Yet what better testimony is there than to show the love of Christ in the midst of hard and difficult times? Lord, give us the strength to live in such a way that the world will know that we are Christians by how we respond to adversity. And help us to be ready to share the reason of our hope, even when things seem hopeless. Help us to share this hope with the world around us. Be with us in our daily lives. Be with those who are working to spread your name in the far reaches of this world, especially in those places that are hostile to the very mention of your name. Help us to live in such a way that we are known for our love and good deeds, and not for the list of things we are against. May your Holy Spirit light our path and give us peace as we walk through this life. Encourage us through your word and fellowship with other believers. Thank you for our connection group leaders and participants. Use these groups to equip your servants, we pray. Lord, we give thanks that the number of infections with COVID appears to be declining. We pray that we are near the end of this pandemic. We lift up those who are recovering from this illness, including Angie Arnold. Speed their recovery, we pray. We lift up the healthcare workers who have persevered throughout this pandemic. Watch over them, we pray, and provide for periods of rest and recovery. We lift up those whose health care has been affected during this time, especially those situations in which health care has been delayed. Be with Mary Clark as she transitions to assisted living to continue to recover. Be with Ross Holcomb as he continues to recover from surgery. We lift up Elena Johnson and her family as she mourns the passing of her sister, Barbara. And be with Twyla Spire and her family as she mourns the sudden passing of her husband, Daryl. Be with those among us who have unspoken needs. Lord, you know the needs, and we just pray for your healing touch. And now let us take a moment to lift up our own praises and petitions, either silently or out loud. Lord, there is a crisis of homelessness in this country. Our hearts break at the thought of people living in such conditions and isolation. There does not seem to be an easy solution to this problem, so we turn to you for guidance. We confess that the variety of issues involved has stymied our responses. Remove the stones from our own hearts. Help us to make an impact on this situation in such a way that it brings glory to you. Lord, thank you for the leadership team of this congregation, for their dedication, knowledge, and consistent hard work. Continue to guide them, we pray. Protect them and their families from the schemes of the enemy. We pray that very soon someone will assume the role of children's ministry leader. Thank you for Andrew and how you have gifted him. Watch over him and his family, we pray. Bless his efforts to reach this valley. Prepare our hearts to receive the message you have laid on him for today. Let us praise the one who has set us free, who has broken every chain, and who forever will be our living hope. Let us praise our Lord Jesus Christ with our voices, thoughts, and actions. Let us praise him through whom every blessing flows. Let us join the heavenly hosts and praise him forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks, John. Just love that man. Beautiful, beautiful heart. Beautiful heart. So last Tuesday night, Elizabeth, our oldest daughter, and I, we went on a kind of this cool dad-daughter date. There was a concert at the Wenatchee High School called Sons of Serendip. Who else was there? I know there's a few others. A few others, yeah, in the back. See, the Nesses are part of the whole concert series thing, so you got to thank Walt, pat him on the back for making this happen. So it's a pop group that features a cello, which makes it cool, for obvious reasons. But it also has like a harp. I know, weird, hey? A cello, a harp, a keyboard player, and then a vocalist who is also playing cajon, which is like this box thing. Might be seeing one of those next week here, too. But anyways, they were fabulous. They were absolutely fabulous. And get to the end of that night and realize this was probably among the top 10 concerts of my life. It was like, this was incredible musicianship. And as a person who's been a musician, for a very, very long time, it makes me both in awe and makes me feel horrible at the same time, you know? But they were crazy, crazy, crazy good. And so it's just fun to like tell people about that. We saw a good concert. If you get a chance next year, on the concert series brings them back, go see them. They were great. Cello, harp, what could go wrong? It's incredible. But the reason I mentioned that concert is because, see, that's just sort of the natural response that we have when we encounter something good. You hear some good music, you're like, dude, come check this out. You finally find a good TV show on, because most of it's blah. You find a good one, you're like, check this show out. This was great. Or you hear a good movie, you visit a good movie, and it's just really moving and wonderful, and it doesn't make you feel icky for just seeing it. You're like, check this movie out. We share good news. Naturally. It's what we're called to do. And this whole series, this whole like 6 weeks, we're kind of putting the focus on what does it mean to be people who share the good news of Jesus? Because there's no better news. Amen? So we've been talking about some of the steps involved. And I realize, you know, when you sort of break these things down, it feels a little bit formulaic, but on the other hand, this is also a series that's a little bit like just sort of these reminders of what it means to be a good Christian friend. Kind of like, you know, for those of us who are married, you know, marriage is one of those things you just kind of, you know, when you're married, just kind of do it. But, you know, when your spouse goes to a marriage retreat and they come back, it's like, this is going to be good, you know, because they come back and they're thinking, you know, like, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? All these great thoughts, and it usually turns out great. Amen? Some of you are like, I don't know if I can amen that. But yeah, you can. You can. You can amen that. You know, so this is a little bit like that for Christian friendship. Like, what's it mean to be a really great Christian friend? And so we talked about some of the things that are parts of it. Begin with prayer. Are you praying for your friends? Are you praying for your family members? Because as we pray, it reminds us that long before you showed up on the scene with the bright idea of sharing Jesus with them, God has already been present in that situation. It's a big Holy Spirit setup. The very fact that you and they are sharing life together is God's doing. He knew that the two of you would meet, or the two of you be related to each other. So we can assume that God is on the move even before we show up. So we pray. We invite God to move in their life because he already is. And then we do something else that's important. We listen. We listen with care. We listen for how God may be moving in their life. We learn to ask better questions. Because it's not so much a matter of shoving Jesus down somebody's throat. It doesn't even fit. But it is a matter of teasing out what God is already doing, giving permission for people to ask spiritual questions, giving permission for people to ask, you know, those deeper life questions that all of us think about and wrestle with. Why am I here? Does my life matter? Is there any greater purpose to my life? Am I just random stardust? I don't feel like random stardust, but it seems like there's supposed to be more to my life. So we listen, we ask good questions. Then we hang out, we eat together, because all of us eat. All of us got to eat. It's a good common ground. It's not the only way that we can connect and show hospitality, but it's a great place to start. So whether it's a backyard barbecue or you get together over a board game and have chocolates and crackers and whatever. I'm about to drop hints of like what I would like. So anyways, but all those things, you know, but you find ways to connect. You just get real with each other. And then last week we talked about what it means to be serving, serve with love. Because when we serve, whether it's serving our families or serving in our neighborhoods or you know, serving in ministry, volunteering, or just simply trying to respond to the needs of the people around you, it's a sign of authenticity. You let them see your real life. You let people see your real faith. And then we earn the right to do the part that we're going to be talking about this week and next week. I wanted to give 2 weeks to it because it's so important. We earn the right to share our story. And just to tell somebody how Jesus has changed our life. So what we're going to be doing this week and next is this week is just do a little bit of a primer, a reminder, maybe a tool or two of just how to talk about your faith. And then next week, we're going to be practicing it. We're going to be doing it. Now, today, just to help us out, in addition to the lovely teaching that you're going to hear, don't worry, it's going to be short. But teaching you're going to hear today is that we've got some cards up front that at the end of the sermon, I'm going to be inviting you to write a word down on those cards. Or those of you who are joining us online, to share a word online, and we'll post it on the screens in the building. But like a word that you say, this is a word that describes the difference that Jesus has made in my life. So you find a word, you know, so that's one thing we'll be doing. And then next week is going to be a service all of just testimonies. So of people sharing how Jesus has made a difference in your life. So for some of you, next week is going to be a big week because the Holy Spirit is starting to tap on your shoulder like, it's time to get vocal. You remember that time? You should let somebody know about that time. Like it could be a really great week to share something. It does not need to be long. It does not to be articulate. Actually, it's probably helpful if it's not super long, just so a lot of people have a chance to share. But next week, it's going to be just story after story after story of how Jesus is changing people's lives. Now, I don't know all of who's going to share. A few people have already been brave enough to say, I'll share. But there's room for you, okay? So if you are open to sharing your story, yes, you are, okay? You're open to sharing your story, let me know. And if possible, let me know by Wednesday, okay? So I can make certain we've got room for everyone, and there'll be a few, maybe a little tools to help it along, so we can whittle it down from 40 minutes to maybe 4. You know, we'll find a way to kind of do that, so we can get right to the point, so that everyone can share and everyone can hear and do all that. But see if you can let me know by Wednesday. So Andrew@ColumbiaGrove.org. And if that doesn't work, BigHairyGorilla@ColumbiaGrove.org. Actually, almost anything at ColumbiaGrove.org, that message will make its way to me. Those of you who are joining us on Facebook, you already send me way too many Facebook Messenger messages. I'll read them this week, okay? Just send them, and we will connect, and you will have a chance to share your story. But do that by what day? Wednesday. Yes. Okay. So Wednesday we'll do that because it is so valuable for us to be able to share our story. Now the theologian in me wants to, before we get into maybe just some practical like personal tools, to remind us that as we are sharing our story, that we share a faith that isn't only subjective. It's not only this touchy-feely thing of how you encounter Jesus. It's not only that. See, our faith is actually based on historical reality. It's based on empirical evidence. Christianity, in fact, though it does have creeds and it does have a belief system, it didn't actually start off as a bunch of creeds and belief systems. It's not a bunch of smart people getting together in the room and saying, let's build a religion. Christianity began with an event. And specifically, it's the event of the resurrection. So one of the passages that reminds us of this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Let's read that together just so we can be kind of grounding our faith in the bigger picture. So Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, this is really, really, really important. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's another name for Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500, catch that, 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. In other words, you can go talk to them. Some of whom, who have fallen asleep, that's a metaphor for died. Then he appeared to James, that's probably his younger brother, the James that we're referring to. Then to all the apostles. And lastly, he appeared to me, also as one abnormally born. Because he appeared to Paul a little bit later, wrote to Emmaus, all that kind of stuff. But here's the big idea. You know, we base our Christian faith not just on these wonderful, touchy-feeling, subjective experiences we have of God, but on a historical reality, as real as the moon landing, as real as World War II. You know, like people can say, oh, I don't believe in that, but there's a lot of evidence. You take any hard look at the evidence and, well, Jesus actually lived. Jesus actually died, and Jesus actually rose again. And the greatest piece of evidence we see of that is in the response of the lives of those who witnessed it, the hundreds of people who witnessed the resurrected Christ. We have people who were tax collectors like Matthew, fishermen like Peter. I mean, these were not highfalutin, fancy people. And you have some people who thought they were highfalutin and fancy, like Paul, who was a Pharisee. And every single one of them had their life radically changed by that encounter with the risen Lord. Every single one of them would either give their life, and many of them did, or risk their life rather than deny what they saw. The people that witnessed the resurrection were so impactful on culture that we cannot imagine, especially Western civilization, apart from their lives and apart from their influence. Jesus is, without exaggeration, quite literally the most important person that has ever lived in history. That's why we base our calendars on Jesus. That's why we name cities after his followers. Because Jesus, his literal death, his literal resurrection was so impactful on those that witnessed it. So our faith is not just about our personal experience. It is based on history. It's based on history. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Now, so for some, as they're making that journey to faith, that first part of the journey is going to be a journey in the head. It's going to be looking at the rational, historical, empirical evidence for the resurrection. That's why I'm so grateful to the work of some of the great Christian apologists of history. Apologists just means people that explain stuff. People like C.S. Lewis. Or, more recently, that people like Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ, The Case for God, William Lane Craig, So for some of you, that might be the place even that you start to turn your friend. Hey, let's read some C.S. Lewis together. Hey, let's go to a website like Reasonable Faith. You can write that down. Reasonable Faith, where you look at some of the evidence for Christianity, the evidence for God, the evidence for the resurrection, or honestly, talk to any trained pastor, and we'll walk you through the evidence. We'll walk you through the evidence. For some, that's right where you are, and that's right where your friend is, and you they have very real questions, and they need very real answers. But for most people, that's not actually the big hang-up. It's not the hang-up that I looked at the evidence, I'm just not really convinced yet, you know, I'm not sure the moon landing was real, you know, prove it to me. You know, like, that's not necessarily where they are. Some of you, I know that's where your friends are. I get that. But for most people, what they're just really looking for is, I just need to know what's going to get me through the day. I just need to know, like, what is going to actually help my life get better. I don't know anybody that comes into a conversation hoping that somebody will convert them. But just about everybody, everywhere, is looking for things that will help them live better, that will help them just get through the day. And that, for you as somebody that's trying to be a good friend to the friends around you, that should give you just tremendous hope. You don't need to have all the answers. Like, it's fine. You maybe write down a couple of good websites for those who really do have those larger, rational questions. They're out there. And there are reasonable, good, solid answers. Or send them to me. I'll help you out, okay? But for most people, they just need to hear your story of how Jesus has made a difference in your life. They just need to hear it. Like, did Jesus help? Because, like, life is kind of hard. Especially, like, I realize the church on some levels, like, globally, and especially in North America, kind of been on the decline. Christianity is hurting a little bit right now, especially in America. But on the other hand, this is also an incredible opportunity to share your faith. This is why I wanted to do this series now. Because, like, the last 2 years have been hard. Do you agree with me? Harder than most. And I'm assuming that most of the people who are listening to my voice right now, whether you're online, you're here in the room, you're on a podcast, wherever it is, most of you, you're a believer. You have some level of faith in God. You have some level of belief that life is not just, you know, this immediate experience, that there's something beyond you in terms of meaning and purpose, maybe even existence beyond you. Like you've got some degree of faith, and it was still hard for you. Let me see your eyes just for a second. Can you imagine what the last 2 years have been like for someone that does not have that faith? And it was hard for you. That's why we need to share our faith. That's why you need to share your story. Because we are living in a world that is aching, is dying for hope. Even as believers, we struggle with mental health, with encouragement, because it's really darn, it's hard. Isolation, loneliness, and all, like, we struggle. Just for a moment, imagine what it would be like if you didn't know Christ and you still had to live through this. That's why we need to share. That's why we need to share our faith. Now, 1 John, who's as he's writing his letters, and this is the first of three letters that he ends up writing to, or I mean, maybe he wrote more, but these are the three that are preserved for us by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. You know, he writes this letter from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, concerning the word of life. So this is like eyewitness. This is what I experienced. This is what we experienced testimony. The life appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you, to y'all, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and we have heard, so that you also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I just want to cycle back on verse 3 and 4. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also have fellowship with us. In other words, when you get to hear what we've seen and heard, then we get to share in this together. Gets to make us family. You think about it, when you hear really good news, whether that's about a really good concert, or you know that stock that you know is gonna triple in the next year, or whatever you believe, whatever you honestly believe is fantastic good news, you want to share it with the people you love. It brings people together. And then verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Like when you share your story and people hear it and respond and they experience some of the same joy that you've heard, it actually gives joy back to you too. Some of you have you've known this joy. You've seen that family member come to faith, and like sometimes you even call me up just to like, because like when you're in my role, you hear a lot of bad news, but sometimes I hear really great news. The grandkid whose eyes opened up to the faith. The coworker. You finally had that conversation. It fills us with joy. And you know, even just hearing the stories from one another of how Jesus has changed lives, it fills us with joy. You don't believe me? Come back next week. I don't even know exactly the details of the stories that are going to be shared. But sharing those stories, it does something. If you're lacking in joy, maybe you need to hear some more of those stories. And maybe you need to share some of those stories. Something happens. Something happens when our hearts connect with the good news. Because it's good. Because it's good news. It's better than the news you'll get on cable news, I'll tell you that. It's good news. We need to hear it. We need to share it. It can make your joy complete. It'll fill you up. So, a couple of practical tools as you're sharing your story. Here's some questions that may be helpful. Is asking this question. So, how has Jesus made a difference in your life from who you were in the past? Now, many of us, we've got stories of how our lives and the direction of our lives got turned around because we met Jesus. So maybe the core of your testimony is, I used to be an addict, I met Jesus, now I'm not. That's a pretty powerful story. I used to feel hopeless, then I met Jesus, and now I'm not. I used to think that loss in my life, that death or that divorce or that whatever, I used to think that would destroy me. But Jesus helped. But for some of us, you know, we actually came to Christ so long in the past that There's a little bit of it, and that's not to say that you shouldn't share it, but that, you know, it does feel like a long time ago. I came to Christ when I was 13 years old. A friend invited me to a youth rally, and I remember hearing the gospel in a way that I understood, at least for the first time, that got my attention. And there was a little altar call, and I raised my hand, and I asked Christ into my heart, and I felt something. But then again, I was 13. I was feeling a lot of things, you know? And my life did change. I know it changed direction. I know the things that I was aspiring towards and what I was trying to orient my life around. I know those things changed, but also I was 13, 14, 15. There was a lot of things changing in my life then. So it's a good story. It's a valid story. I love to share that story. But that, you know, admittedly, that was a little while ago. So it's also good to share. So maybe that's a helpful category. Like some of you, maybe you're a relatively new believer. Or your story of you know, what happened in your life when you met Christ was in itself pretty dramatic. That would be a great story to share. I hope you share it. But I want to share a couple of other ways of looking at that story. You could ask a question like, so how has Jesus made a difference in your life in key moments of your life? Like, you might have moments in your life where you just went, that was a God moment. That was a miracle moment. Like, youth group this past Thursday, we were just sharing kind of little miracle stories of things where God just got your attention, where something happened and you went, I have no explanation of that. And so I was sharing a story there of something that happened. It had been about 19 years ago. We were, Anita and I and our then, well, Lauren, our oldest daughter, who's now like 21. Anyways, but we were living in Chicago, and we were considering becoming church planters. We were heading out to this assessment weekend where we were going to get grilled and probed and asked all sorts of questions and trying to figure out if we really were wired and equipped to be church planters. And it was about 5 in the morning because we need to catch an early flight, and we had our suitcases. We need to get onto the L so we could get to the airport so we could go. And of course, we need to get a little train ticket to do that. And we didn't bring any cash, or at least no smaller bills, because, you know, you can usually use like a credit card for the train. And so it's about 5 in the morning, and we get to the train station, so we can go out to O'Hare. And the credit card machine was busted. Uh-oh. And I, you know, I didn't have any smaller bills. We're like, okay, what are we gonna do? You know, is there a convenience store open? Do you remember that, honey? You know, the convenience store open, and we look around, and where do we go, and what are we going to do, and you start to feel that panic and that dread. Maybe God didn't want us to go on this, maybe this is a sign, da, 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 da. And we're standing next to the ticket vending machine, and at the top of them, and a $5 bill popped out of the top of the vending machine where the money's supposed to go in. No lie. Took the $5 bill out, put it back in, and tickets dropped. I don't have an explanation for that. But I chalk that up as one of many God moments in life. Like, how did that work? I'm just grateful for it. We got on the train, we got to the airplane, we caught the flight, we passed assessment, and here we are. We just planted a church, and yay. But, you know, $5 from a vending machine. I how'd that work? I don't know. But it's one of those God moments. Like, is God paying attention? Is God real? Yeah. Or I would think even of some of these other moments of being present for times of, you know, seeing healing happen. Sometimes even dramatic healing happen. I have one story from the last couple of years. One of you, I'm trying to see if she's in the room. She knows who she, where is she? Where did she, Patty, are you here? She's not. Oh, there she is. All right. I hope you share your story next week. All right. Oh, perfect. Awesome. Andrew at ColumbiaGrove.org. Okay. Of seeing people of where something happened that there's no good explanation for. Honestly, I had one of those happen about 3 days ago. I can't even share the details of that story yet because all the family hasn't been notified. But of seeing where you pray and something happens that you have no, like it just goes beyond every medical expectation, something happened. So, maybe you have a God story of like a miracle story of God just showing up in a key moment in life. I hope you'd share it. Thanks to Jesus, I was healed. Thanks to Jesus, $5 popped out of a vending machine. I don't know. But whatever it is, but people need to hear those stories. This God stuff, it's real. And there's moments where the reality of God's work in the world just becomes undeniably apparent. Share that story. Or, you know, a third paradigm maybe to look at it is, how has Jesus made a difference in your life recently? That may not be some big dramatic miracle moment, but it could be even as something as simple like, if in my life, I would just say, you know, last 2 years, all I know is that when it feels like life is falling apart and I'm scared to turn on the news, when I stop and when I pray, and I tell God how I'm feeling and what's going on in my life, something happens. And I find a measure of strength that I didn't have before. It's not a magic wand. I can't totally explain it. But somehow the strength to get through it just shows up. I reach out. God, please help me. And something happens. And I find it. My hunch is most of you listening to my voice right now, you have a story like that too. We've been through some hard stuff together. And probably something happened when you, and something continues to happen when you pray. Can't explain it, can't necessarily measure it, but something happens. There's like a, something just feels right. God, please help. I need help right now. And something happens. Can you relate to that? Yeah. I'm seeing heads nodding. That's your testimony as well. That's sharing your story. And that's a story that people around you need to hear. So I want to encourage you to share your story. Now, that might mean next week. That might mean next week. I hope many of you will do that. But I also want to give a little bit of a primer, even right now. Like, so on the tables in the front, it says this: because of Jesus, I am. Because of Jesus, I am. I'd like you to think for a moment or two about how you would fill in that blank. So this is like a one-word testimony or a short phrase testimony. Maybe yours would be like mine. Although I could write a number of different things with this, but this is one I would share today. Because of Jesus, I am hopeful. People need to hear that story. So I think the band's coming, but I'm hopeful that the band is coming. Check this out. All right. But So maybe be thinking about what you would share. Now, if you're joining us online, I want to invite you to post your word. Post your word, and we're gonna show it up on the screen in a moment here as we sing a song together. And if you're so bold as to share your word, I invite you to come up, write your word on the card, and then just hold it up. Bonus points if you can hold it up where you're not just like in the dark. That way the cameras can see it and people online can also share in the moment. But even if you don't want to do it that way, that's cool. Okay. Or maybe you are just not the upfront person. I'm okay with that. But tell somebody, like the person sitting next to you. Whisper in the ear of the person in the row in front of you. Because of Jesus, I'm share your word. So let's pray. And then I invite you to share your story somehow, and let God fill you with his joy as you do. Lord, thank you that you have been at work in our lives. Some in the room have a dramatic story of how their life changed as they first encountered you. Lord, thanks for those stories. Thanks for meeting me at 13 years old, and that the message started to make sense. And that you sent Neil Josephson to tell the story of Jesus in a way that I could understand. And I put up my hand, and you caught it. Thank you. Thank you also for the moments in between, those God moments, those healing moments, those unexplainable moments where you just showed up. And Lord, I thank you for the stories that are in this room of your faithfulness and of your intervention. And God, we thank you, and I thank you for the daily graces that we experience. The strength, the hope, the peace, the endurance, the forgiveness. Lord, may we share your story, your faithfulness, even as we share our own. While heads are bowed, just feel like God may be leading me to do this right now. If it feels like right now you feel distant from God and you're like, I want to recommit my life to Jesus right now. I feel like I've strayed, and I want to come back. Or maybe you're like 13-year-old me, and the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together, and you're like, I've never given my heart to Christ, but I want to do that right now. If you're in either of those categories, I want to renew my faith, or I want to take that first step. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Can we just make eye contact? Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, that even right now you are changing people's lives. That this moment right now is part of somebody's story of your faithfulness. So, congregation, I want to invite us to pray something out loud together, and then we're going to move into the song and share some of these testimonies. But let's pray these words out loud. Would you pray them with me? Dear Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that through your death, I am forgiven. Thank you that you rose again from the dead, and that through your resurrection, I have eternal life. Come into my life now. Come into my heart now. Change me from the inside out. Thank you that you can. Thank you that you do. Thank you that you love me that much. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, just because I know he's doing some transforming work even right now in the room. And I'm going to turn things over to Ian and to Elizabeth, and she's on a cello, which means it's going to be good music. And I'd like you to share your story. So if that means whispering somebody's ear, that's cool. It means writing it on a piece of paper, that's great. Some of you, post your word right now. We're going to put it on the screen as the song is playing. Let's build one another up with our testimonies of faith. Share your story. Share your story. All right, guys, let's do it. So as folks find their seats again, and feel free to find your seats again, let's give the Lord a hand for what he's doing, for these stories. Can we share a few of the online words as well? Let's put a few of those up as well on the screen. I'm assuming there are some. So is your, here we go. Yep, Alice, growing in my faith. Lana, hope after the death of her son. Jamie, I'm growing in love. Mandy, calm. Good word, Mandy. Ray, yes, grandparents. You know he Ray loves being a grandpa. Share your story. Invite you, take out your communion packets. If you're joining us, like from California, like Ray, I know you are, maybe you could take out your, find some bread, find some juice. Or Alice, you're joining us from Florida right now, find some bread, find some juice. You know, our history matters. You'd feel differently about yourself if you discovered that your genealogy was that you were descended from royalty as opposed to, you know, being descended from a serial killer. You'd feel differently about yourself. Our Christian history matters as well. And Jesus declared for us how much we matter to him by meeting with his disciples and then passing that word on from generation to generation to generation. And on the night when Jesus was betrayed, just before he went to the cross for you, for me, and for us, he was having a meal with his disciples. And he took bread and he gave thanks for it. He broke it and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." That's why as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. And then I want to invite you to serve one another. And what I mean by that is as somebody is eating the bread and drinking the juice, that you would speak these words to somebody. So maybe that's the person you're sitting next to. Maybe it's the person across the aisle. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. But to speak these words, "This is Christ's body given for you." Because the person across the aisle, the person in the seat next to you, they need to be reminded of how much they matter to God. And this is Christ's blood shed for you. Remind somebody of how much they matter to God. So Lord, thank you for these reminders. You gave your body, you shed your blood out of sheer love for us. Lord, we remember you. Not just what you did in history, though thank you for that, but what you're doing right now. By the Holy Spirit, you are changing lives right now. Thank you for that. So meet us, Lord, we pray, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, serve one another. In Jesus' name, speak these words and serve one another. This is Christ's body given for you.
Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Invite us to stand. Let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. The words of the Lord's Prayer. We'll put them up on the screen. Speak these words out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Paul?
2 weeks, have a chair, please. 2 weeks in a row, I'm starting my new consecutive streak again. Yay! A few quick announcements. First announcement is, next Sunday, we'll be having a membership class. We offer these 4 times a year. If you've been coming to Columbia Grove, months, weeks, years, today's your first day, you're invited to that class to learn a little bit more about Columbia Grove. As Pastor Andrew so eloquently says, kind of check underneath the hood. Find out a little bit more about the Covenant denomination, more about Columbia Grove itself, how we operate. Ask Andrew or I any question you want, and it's just a good way to learn more about Columbia Grove. This Thursday night, Connection Group. Before that, you're even going to get fed. So at 5:30 this Thursday night, it's tailgate food. So bring some tailgate food. If you have no idea what tailgate food is, Marsha Hahn in the red sweater is in the front row. Ask her after the service. She'll be happy to let you know. Thank you for last week. When I said we needed some more vacuum teams, we had 4 people step forward. So we got 2 new vacuum teams, actually 1 new vacuum team. We need to get another male and another female because we're not going to put together 2 married people that aren't married to the same people to do vacuuming. So if we can get a couple more people for vacuuming, we'll be back on a 6-week rotation again. Another team we need some help with to build back up is our prayer team. Every service at in the back corner back there, John Brandt's back there right now, we have somebody back there to pray. Maybe you're having a bad day, a bad week, a bad year. There's somebody there that will pray with you. We also have a phone prayer team. Maybe praying in with somebody right next to you isn't your thing, but you can pick up a phone and call somebody. Just say, how can the church pray for you? We found that having lay people do that is actually better, more things come out than when one of the pastoral staff does it. So there is some confidentiality and training. Just because you can fog a mirror doesn't necessarily mean you'll be on the prayer team. But if that's something of interest to you, let me know as well. This last week was an interesting week. Nobody in this building or online, but I had a couple friends reach out to me that were dealing with a lot of anxiety and panic attacks. For those of you that know my story, 35 years of my life, I dealt with severe anxiety and panic attacks. And if I was totally honest, for 62 years and almost 8 months, panic attacks have been a part of my life. I've got them pretty well under control. I've learned some tricks, but I still have some rough days. I got to thinking, we're the same kind of a cross-section of society as my 2 friends are, And they reached out to me because I told my story, and I wasn't ashamed or embarrassed to admit it. And I got to thinking that on any given Sunday, 1 out of 10 people suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. That means every Sunday, there's 15 to 20 of us in this building and online that suffer from anxiety and panic. On the outside, many of us look calm, collect, everything else, but none of us know what's going on inside. So I found our closing prayer today will be a prayer for anxiety, and it's titled, Calm My Troubled Heart. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, many of us today come before you with a heavy heart. At times, we can feel crushed by our own fears and worries. Please grant us serenity and calm our troubled hearts. Fill us with your hope and help us to understand that everything is going according to your plan. Show us the right path so we may follow you in faith. Thank you for being a source of peace in our lives, even through troubling times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, have an incredible week. God loves you. God's blessings upon your week. As the hillside says, love like Jesus, depart in peace. Thanks for being here with our worship service. God bless everyone.